Hello. And welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. Are you there, Misty?
Yeah, I'm here.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, here we go. Okay. Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay in the Straight Wives Talk Show. Welcome to our talk show, which is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-hostess Misty Hall and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or a bisexual man. And tonight, if you would like to call into our show, we'd love to hear from you. Our call-in number, get a pencil, is area code 646-716-4893. And I'll repeat it again for you. It's area code 646-716-4893. And Misty, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, Bonnie. How are you?
I'm a little under the weather tonight, but that's okay. Well, it's just tonight for the day. You know, we have so many viruses going around from the summer where I work. So, you know, my regular job. So, you know, everybody's sick, and I think, you know, it's finally catching up with me.
Oh, no.
So hopefully we'll make it through the night as far as we can go.
Okay.
And, I just wanted to tell people that, you know, a few announcements in a few weeks on August 19th. I'm so excited because our friend Wendy's coming back from Wendy's List.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, whenever they write to me for information, I always send them my back newsletters, and, you know, Wendy's lists are in there. And, you know, people are just so amazed by the help that it gives to them.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, you know, they've heard Wendy's past broadcast. And,
those are wonderful.
You know, aren't they wonderful? Because she is just amazing.
Absolutely wonderful.
And they asked me, well, when can she come back again? And I said, well, I don't want to push her too much, but it's been a few months, so I called her, you know, I sent her an email. I said, Wendy, I'd like to push you. You know, it's not too much, but a little bit here. And she said she'd be happy to be on our show. So August 19th, you know, will be the date that, you know, Wendy will be here. And we'll be having some other guests with us through the summer, you know, towards the latter part of the summer here. And I wanted to remind women that, you know, I do have my get-together the last week of September, my healing weekend. And it's going to be a wonderful event, as always, because really validation is in finding other women who know exactly how you feel, who don't have to say a word, who, you know, don't deny anything you're saying. And I think that live support is just so helpful to women. And, you know, good friendships are formed, and then people keep in touch throughout the year, you know, when they meet at any of these, you know, gatherings together. So I really think these healing weekends are really important. So if you're interested, you know, please write to me at bonk@aol.com. You know, I don't charge for these get-togethers. I know that other groups have get-togethers, and they do charge. This is free. You know, you just have to pay for your expenses, which are very inexpensive, you know, because I got a group rate at a beautiful hotel this time. Really beautiful. And, you know, we have it at the center that I own so that, you know, there's no charge for those fees. And, you know, the only thing you really have to pay for is your hotel transportation and some food. And we also celebrate my birthday on that last weekend, so we do have some extra fun as well.
That's a holiday.
Yes, the National Straight Wife Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Bonnie's birthday. So, but we do have a lot of fun, and, you know, it's just great being with women and sharing, and then, you know, after the crying is done, having some great fun and laughing. So that's really important. If you're interested, so please let me know. Also, for our tri-state women in New York and New Jersey, Connecticut, and also Philadelphia, I guess that's quadruple state, we'll be having a get-together on September 1st in New York City. It'll be a long evening for dinner, so it's a Saturday night, and it's on a holiday weekend. But if you'd like to join me and some of my wonderful New York ladies, you know, please let me know at bonk@aol.com. So those are my announcements for the moment. And, of course, I'd like to announce again that really important that women read my new book, Man Readers, A Woman's Guide to Dysfunctional Men. I've gotten so many wonderful, you know, and wonderful feedback from it, from women who read it and say this is their life as they see it. you know, thank you for sharing so much about my own personal life because I could make that connection. And, you know, I'm very open and honest and upfront in that book, telling about a lot of things that I did that I'm not very proud of. But that's the whole point. We all make mistakes and we can all fix mistakes. So, once again, you can find that book on my website at www.dysfunctionalmen.com. And I'll tell you one thing about it. You know, even if you feel you don't need it for yourself, I talk about every kind of possible dysfunctional man there is out there. And somebody you know needs that book. And it's now available. You can buy it on Amazon.com, buy it as a regular book, or else through Kindle. But I think it's a really important book so that before you move on to your next mistake, you know, that you can see what you have to look out for and ways to check out men. And that was my whole purpose in writing the book, Man Readers. Of course, it's telling my own life story and all my mistakes that I made and my bad relationships and marriages. But it's also there to help you learn about building self-esteem and how self-esteem is really the key to finding happiness. And I also give you a whole bunch of things to do in there as far as checking out men when you're thinking about going into a future relationship. And what's really funny is that I have this wonderful friend here in Philadelphia. I won't mention her name. But, you know, she's one of my closest friends. And, you know, she's somebody who's very youthful in her early 60s, but very youthful in all of her ways and very energetic. And, you know, she keeps trying to find the right man in her life. And, you know, of course, she does find men, but they're usually the wrong men. And, you know, I said to her, you know, she just was corresponding with a man. And she said, you know, I really think I'm interested in this guy. It's a dating service that she joined. And she said, he really wants to meet me. And I said, and what have you done to check him out to see who he is? Because I looked him up on Google and found nothing. I looked up his phone number on Google and found nothing. And she said, well, it's a cell phone. I said, yep. And I said, I still found nothing. And anybody could buy anything. And I mean, there's so many predators and game players out there that even though you'd like to believe the best in people, you're really crazy today when you do. When you hear so many stories about women having real tragedies with guys that they meet who are game players. So, you know, I just want to warn people that even though you think, you know, you might tell somebody else, give them advice, well, you better check them out. But when it comes to you, you don't want to do it because you're afraid you'll offend someone. Mm-hmm. I say never be afraid you'll offend someone. Ask for their driver's license. Ask for some kind of proof of identification when you meet them. You know, they've driven to your house, they will have a driver's license. So you've been right about in that book, Man Readers, how I made that mistake one time. I really fell for this guy. And when he was sleeping one night, I went in his wallet and I found his ID, and it was a totally different name and totally different place where he was living.
Wow.
So a lot of these guys are game players. It's really important for you to check them out. And once again, check out my book, Man Readers, and you can find it at my website at www.dysfunctionalmen.com. And dysfunctional men come in all sizes and shapes and varieties. You know, Misty and I often talk about there are a lot of straight men out there that are very dysfunctional, right, Misty?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's a mistake that straight wives have to be very careful of when they jump back into the dating game. You know, sometimes they're just looking for a straight man. You know, there are dysfunctional straight men out there, and sometimes you'll repeat the same relationship patterns that you had in the gay straight relationship, only with a straight man. So you have to be very careful of that and be very mindful. That's why it's so important to heal before you start dating again.
Well, this is what I tell my women. I told them this in the chat room tonight when I was on earlier. And I love my women. I have such wonderful women who come to our support chats and who are so supportive of new women who come on. And everyone in there feels validated, not stupid. But I tell them, you know people don't like to hear this. Women don't like to hear this. But this is the truth. We are broken women when we come out of these marriages. We are not whole. We are definitely broken. The majority of us were broken when we went into these marriages in one way or another way. You know, we lack self-esteem, or we needed to be needed, or, you know, we wanted to be loved, or we were lonely or had family expectations. A lot of us were so desperate to find love, and it's not to say that we didn't love our husbands, but we didn't necessarily love them in a healthy way because we weren't healthy about loving ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And now you spend 10, 15, 20, 30 years being battered down by someone who makes you feel very inadequate on a daily basis. and who, you know, takes away any kind of sense of self-worth and value that you have. And now your marriage is over and you think, okay, everything's going to be okay. And guess what? It's not. And once again, all of us end up being broken marriages. We went into the marriages not being 100%, but we come out having very little left. So do you agree with that, Misty?
Absolutely. You know, these marriages can really strip you down of who you are, what you are. And, I mean, even if you don't go into the marriage broken, you at least go into the marriage naive, you know, and you can come, you're going to come out broken or hurt, wounded, whatever it is you need to call it, whatever label you need to put on there. You're definitely not whole when you come out of the marriage. I can pretty much guarantee you that. And you definitely need time for healing. And I think it's so important to do that healing and to rebuild yourself. Because if not, you're setting yourself up for some failure. I believe, it's my professional and personal opinion, that you really need to set yourself up to, you know, take care of yourself, to heal yourself, to nurture yourself, and to mend yourself. Most importantly, to mend yourself, to mend what was broken, to mend what was torn apart, and to heal those pieces. And it can be healed. The great part is
to be
healed.
Like I tell women, Misty, I think you'll agree with this. You know, if you had a friend or if you have a sister and they have a husband who day in and day out will make them feel inadequate and make them doubt themselves and say, you know, you're too fat or you don't appeal to me sexually or, you know, you're not clean enough or you're sloppy or you smell down there or, you know, any of these horrible things that we've been told for all these years. If it happened to take yourself outside your body in case you're saying, no, I'm not a broken woman. And look at someone else who would go through this. How could they not end up feeling broken? You went through abuse of your own, Misty. Would you mind talking about that a little bit?
Not at all. I mean, it was abuse. In addition to him being gay, he was very abusive. And the two were not necessarily connected. So I'm not, before we get phone calls on that, I'm not connecting the two. He was just an abusive person in addition to being gay. And it was horrible. You know, day in and day out. It actually took longer to recover from the abuse I experienced with him than to recover from, you know, discovering he was gay. So, I mean, it added to the complication. You know, when there's any type of abuse in a relationship, it just adds to layers of healing that you have to uncover and discover who you are, what you are, and what you need to heal. And when you experience that, it's unique to the person, you know. How were you abused, or what did the person do? I mean, was it threatening? Was it, you know, emotional abuse, physical abuse, a mixture of everything? You know, sometimes the abuser just abuses with everything, just throws it all in. Sometimes it's emotional abuse, and you know, it's what's so sad. I see women do, they discount the emotional abuse. You know, if it's physical abuse, sometimes they'll say, well, you know, they beat me or this or that. But the emotional abuse, they just really discount because you can't see the scar or the wound. And both are very damaging. And
I think it's hard for women to really discuss emotional abuse because people think, well, first of all, a lot of these guys are really charming. A lot of them are great actors. Well, they've acted their whole lives, so they are become good actors. So to the outside world, a lot of them really seem like wonderful guys. Like, how many of us, when we leave our marriages, people say to us, oh, how could you leave him? He was such a wonderful guy.
Right? Absolutely. I heard that every day. How could you leave him? He's wonderful. You know, you were so lucky. Well, no, it wasn't.
And then they feel like, you know, if you had emotional abuse, well, what do you mean you had emotional abuse? Women don't want to talk about it. It's like you said, when you're physically abused, you have scars to show it. You have black and blue marks. You know, you have broken bones. People believe you then.
Right.
But when you don't have that, when it's just emotional abuse every day knocking you down, you don't see those scars. And so a lot of times people think you're just overreacting or he's such a nice guy. It must be you that's at fault. So if he does say something bad to you, well, look how nice he is. You must be I mean, they'll look for a million things. So I understand why it's hard to talk about it, but there's a lot of support out there. Even if you can't talk about it to your friends or your family, you can definitely talk about it to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But
really, too.
I think, like, with you going through the physical abuse also, and like Misty said, a lot of women don't go through the physical abuse. Misty
mm-hmm.
just had a double barrel of non-fun there.
Yeah,
double barrel.
Got it all. Yeah.
Double barrel of danger. How's that?
Yeah.
But a double barrel of danger where she was not only being emotionally abused, but also physically abused, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it was so interesting, and it took me a while to even realize. And I was guilty of doing the same. That's why I know about the emotional abuse. I was very guilty of recognizing the physical abuse much earlier than I was the emotional abuse. And, you know, of course, I would heal from that sooner than I did the emotional abuse. And it's easy to discount that and to sort of write that off because it's hard to show any type of wound from that. And oftentimes, an easy way to recognize a type of emotional abuse is if you have a trigger or something, like if something in something pops up and you have a memory, something causes a memory to pop up of something that happened, you know, ooh, you know, it just sort of gives you that, like, gut feeling that, it doesn't feel too good, you know. You think, ooh, you know, I remember when he did that or that happened, and you think, wow. You know, there's some kind of emotional charge around that. Something happened that is usually not too good, so it's something that possibly needs some processing with someone. You know, maybe you just need to talk about it with a friend. Maybe you need to talk about it with a professional. But, you know, never discount emotional abuse. It's very important to discuss that with someone because it's abuse. It is abuse, and don't discount it. And, you know, and you can heal from it. I mean, I'm a firm believer you can heal from anything.
If you want to.
Exactly, if you want to.
I tell our women, like, women say to me, can you heal? I say yes, but you have to want to. And I'm really convinced some women just don't want to. You know, they're just...
Absolutely. Some women identify with this... staying so stuck and really not ready to move forward. And
that becomes
ready.
Their identity, right?
It becomes their identity, absolutely. Absolutely. It sure does.
So, Misty, also, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but since you're always so wonderfully open, for those women who are in relationships where there's physical abuse, and I mean there are some women who are, but
mm-hmm.
can you explain a little bit about the full impact of physical abuse and, like, why women stay?
Well, the biggest reason I feel, and I'm going to answer for myself, and I think some women can identify for this. I don't think I can answer for all women, so I'll answer for myself. When you're in a relationship and there's physical abuse involved, it doesn't usually start overnight. It starts little by little, bit by bit. And by that time, in my relationship, I was pretty much isolated from a lot of friends and family. That's a huge sign. It's a huge red flag of an abuser. You know, when you're getting yourself isolated from friends, family, you know, we had moved away. And that was sort of by choice, too, because we had moved away to go to school to continue our education. But also, it cut off a lot of ties as well. He didn't have many friends. And he didn't have many friends. He really didn't want me to have many friends. So that was just such a huge red flag. But anyway, you know, I didn't know any better at the time. So little by little, bit by bit, you know, I was just cut off even more and more from the outside world, it seemed. And
did he try the approach of isolation with you?
Pardon?
In other words, like you said, he tried to get you away from your friends, get you away from your family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the free days of
yeah.
you were going out with
yeah.
other people.
Right, right. And it was just like, oh, well, you know, we need to be best friends. We're married. You know, we are best friends. We're husband, we're wife. I mean, he would use that tactic, you know, we need to be best friends because we're married. And essentially that's what it was. If, you know, we went anywhere, it was together. We really didn't have any outside friends. And that was odd to me because I always had outside friends. Because I came from a, you know, I only had one older brother, but I came from a huge family. You know, my dad had a total of 10 brothers and sisters, and there were tons of cousins, and we all grew up in the same area. So there was always lots of cousins to play with, to go places with, to vacation with, you know, just you know, all kinds of people always together. So I was used
so
to
you
having,
were part of a big family growing up, right?
Yes, huge family. Yes, even though there were only two in my immediate family, you know, cousins were considered family. I mean, because we all lived in the same area, and family was huge. And we just once he didn't like my family, he let it be known. Family would show up. He would immediately go into the bedroom or isolate himself, and just really he may say hello, he may not say hello. Just very rude, very rude. And you
now,
know, there was a point that people wouldn't come back. You know,
well,
so
I understand
rude.
That only too well because that happened in my marriage too. But I want to let women know. Maybe you could just focus on this for a minute. When you get married to someone who's physically abusive, like women say, "Well, how could you marry him?" They're not physically abusive when you marry them.
Absolutely.
I don't know any
never
women who walk into marriages where the guy's already beating them up.
Nope, never
Is
had
that correct,
any signs. Absolutely, I had never had any signs of any physical abuse before the marriage. Never. None whatsoever. Nothing ever happened before the marriage. It happens little by little, bit by bit. It began with the isolation. Once the isolation was set in place, little things where he would throw things, almost like a temper tantrum, and things would just escalate. I remember once he threw an iron at me. I mean, you know, there was just little by little. Things would escalate. And
in the beginning, don't they always apologize and tell you how sorry they are?
Yes. Yes, and then they blame it, you know, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have done that. And it goes to like that little honeymoon phase, you know, like that little brief phase, oh, I should have never done that, I love you so much, what was I thinking? And, you know, and then here comes the flowers, here comes this, here comes that. And then, it, you know, it can also go through, well, you know, then when he gets so angry, it was like, do you see what you make me do? You're the
exactly.
only person
and
that makes me do this.
You know, it's one thing when they get angry, but is it enough? They also, when you're insecure enough to start with, because they've been knocking you down emotionally, in most cases, before the, you know, physical abuse, and then if they turn to you and say, well, you know, I only did this because you got me so angry, like they put the blame back on you, and do you really believe that, you think?
Oh, absolutely. I believed it at the time. I completely believed it at the time. He would say, you're the only person that makes me do this. Do you see what you make me do? No, I don't do this around anyone else. Look what you make me do. You make me do things like this. And, you know, when you're beaten so far down, you believe it. Now, in the beginning, if he would have started with that, I'd probably laughed at him and told him he was crazy. But by this time, I was so far beaten down, I just went along with it. I thought, gosh, what am I doing? What do I need to change to keep him from acting like this? Because I was thinking I was doing something when it was just his own psychoticness. I mean, it was his own abusive behavior. You know, he owned his own acting.
Did he ever say to you, I don't want you to mention this to anybody?
No, he would say things like, let's see, how he would not use those exact terms, but he would say things like, if I wanted to hurt you, I would really hurt you. And if you were to say something, people knew I could, no, people would know I could really hurt you, and they would think you were crazy. So he would say things like, people would just think you're crazy. So he would say things like that. Those were not the exact words, but he would put it in terms of, oh, people, because he was quite larger than me. He was very, very tall, very tall. He was a large man. And he would say, well, people know I could hurt you if I really wanted to. People would think you're crazy. So he would say things like that, you know, if you ever said anything about me or trying to hurt you. So, I mean, you know, you begin to, when you hear something day in and day out, you begin to believe it. Because I didn't have anyone to talk to because, I mean, my family had just sort of dropped away and didn't come around anymore because he was so rude.
And a lot of men are because of the fact they want to isolate their wives from their families. You know, they want to be so much in control of the situation because they have no control in their own situation.
Right, exactly.
And they can't control their sexuality, and they're trying so hard not to let it slip up or for anybody to find out. They're always afraid that, you know, you're going to say something and somebody's going to know. Mm-hmm. So they do their best to make sure that nobody comes around.
I think you're right.
I know that happened with my marriage for sure. You know,
mm-hmm.
my husband just made it so unbearable for anybody to be around us. You know, he would always purposely start fights or, you know,
mm-hmm.
alienate people or put them down. You know, create a fight where there was none to be created. But, you know,
right.
that's how he controlled everything.
Exactly.
And he made sure that I wouldn't say anything to anyone, even my suspicions or what I, you know, thought was going on, because he would get so angry. So you just learn to shut up. And
exactly.
I think that's, you know, what the problem is. You learn not to speak up for yourself because you're afraid every time you're going to say something, you're going to get a reaction, whether it's the emotional abuse or the physical abuse, you're going to be hurt.
Exactly.
I mean, there's no way around that. You're going to be hurting because they're going to make sure you're hurting. Would you say
mm-hmm.
that's true?
Absolutely. You're going to be hurting. You're the one that's going to pay the price. Absolutely.
So all I can say to women is that, you know, when you come out of marriage like this, if you think for 1 minute that now my marriage is up, over, I'm perfectly fine, you're absolutely wrong. I mean, you can spend years trying to get better. And we have women who have really these scars that last for years to come after their marriage because they really don't work on getting rid of them. And that's why I think, like Misty says, you have to really do your best to try to move on and get the help you need. So that, you know, you're not sitting miserable, unhappy, and isolated and alone. And then walking into another relationship with all those emotions not in place or not in check.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is that you either become extremely codependent on someone, you know, in that next relationship that's an unhealthy one. And then you get to the point where, you know, you're his slave again, just like you were in your last marriage. And it just keeps repeating itself just with different men.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you say so?
Absolutely. We definitely learn how to repeat patterns in relationships if we don't heal those patterns. And whether
uh-huh.
it be with a gay man or a straight man, we will definitely seek someone out and repeat patterns. And it's just so bizarre how we do that in human nature, and we certainly do that. We do that every time. If you don't heal that pattern, you'll definitely repeat components of it. It may not be the exact pattern, but it will be so familiar. It just will be very familiar, the pattern
exactly.
will be. It's just so bizarre how familiar those patterns will be. So, like I said, it may not be with another gay man, but it can be with a straight man, because all straight men are not created equal. You know, there are dysfunctional straight men out there, as you said earlier about your book, you know, and the man readers. There are definitely dysfunctional straight men out there.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, you know, when we talk about narcissists, a lot of our women have husbands or ex-husbands who are narcissists. But I have so many straight men who are narcissists. I mean, this is
mm-hmm.
not necessarily, you know, only for gay men or sociopaths. Men, no, of course, I'm not saying that there's not more gay married sociopaths, because men are living a lie at all times, and so they start, you know, just living that lie. But my point is this, that even if, you know, like I say, there are plenty of straight men who are sociopathic, emotionally manipulating, narcissists, and we walk right back into relationships with men like that because they're charming, because
mm-hmm.
they know how to get you, because they want you, they want somebody to control. Within 10 minutes, they have you summed up. They already know that you're in a bad marriage, and that they know you're married to a gay man. They feel you're really susceptible. So they play games with you or head games with you. And you just don't want to see yourself ending up where you started out from. You want to end up in a better relationship to restart your life. But just like any time you have other addictions, whether it's Alcoholics Anonymous, whether it's a Narcotics Anonymous, whether it's Gamblers Anonymous, every single one of those recovery groups tells you not to date anybody for a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's because they know that if you go right back into the same, you know, situation, you're going to be dating the same kind of man.
Right.
And so that's why I say it's just so important, you know, that you have to rebuild yourself. You have to learn why you got to this point in your life. Why you allowed somebody to run over you like this? What would you do differently? You know, what would you do differently if you had a chance to do it again? you know, if you married your husband, you saw all these things coming to you, what would you do differently? Would you still stay there? Would you be strong enough to fight back? Would you walk away sooner? And so that leads me to the next thing I wanted to really talk about, because, you know, this does kind of bother me, and believe me, I am not judging any woman who wants to stay in her marriage. I'm going to be honest, I don't understand it. I really don't, why someone would want to settle for so little. And, I mean, just the concept of being a straight woman and having a gay husband to me means you are settling for so little. But, you know, there, you know, the whole issue comes, the majority of my mail, if I had to say what comes in most of all, is writing about the whole situation of bisexuality. Because, of course, a lot of these men are telling their wives that they're not gay, they're bisexual. And then I look for resources on the line because, you know, I always send people who want to stay in these marriages to the Straight Spouse Network. And I appreciate having the Straight Spouse Network because, you know, it does help people who aren't interested in my advice of getting out of the marriage. Now, that's not to say that later on they don't come back to me, but in the meantime, when they need support, at least they can get it. I mean, I'm not quite sure what we're, you know, sending people to get support for staying in a marriage that's not right to start with. But I can't be that judgmental. I can tell women I won't work with you because of the fact that I don't believe in keeping these marriages together. You know, and even if you don't leave today, you have to have a game plan in effect. I mean, you can't just walk out that minute in many cases. But you have to have the game plan in effect of, you know, getting evidence and your lawyers, things like that. But there are those women who are just so adamant that, no, they want to live in these marriages. They want to stay with their gay husbands. They want to be best friends. And they really believe in their head that for some reason this man's going to love them enough that he's not going to want to cheat on you. And I think that that's so unrealistic. I mean, I just think that living with a gay man is like so ridiculous, but I think it's so unrealistic to really believe that a gay man is not going to cheat on you, even if he calls himself bisexual. So this is why I went to this resource link, our resource page, and it says resources for, you know, bisexual men who are married, and, you know, some other bisexual, you know, for men who aren't married. And, but they get so many resources on this webpage, like, to me, it's really amazing. And including the Straight Spouse Network, which says support for straight spouses and partners, current or former, of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender mates worldwide. Support groups operate in 40 communities in the U.S. and 6 foreign countries. And it says experienced support group leaders provide mentor assistance for organizing new support groups. So, you know, they have the Straight Wives, Straight Spouse Network, you know, listed. And, you know, this is for, once again, learning about bisexuality. But they have, for instance, the Boston Gay and Bisexual Married Man's Group. And they say this is a discussion group for gay and or bisexual married men, including those who are working to preserve the marriage and those in the process of separation or divorce. It tells when they'll be meeting and where they'll be meeting and how to get in touch with them. So that's one, you know, resource. And there's like dozens and dozens here. For, you know, bisexual married men of upstate New York, Bisexual Resource Center. They have the GAMA, the Gay Married Men's Association of Washington, of the Metropolitan Area. They also have GAMA, links to support groups in Dallas, Grand Rapids, Philadelphia, St. Louis, Washington, D.C., and Australia. They have, like, pages and pages of these resources. So, like, they have some really good questions on another website. Like, if somebody's bisexual, why do they have, does that mean they're going to sleep with two different people or have sex with two different people? So, what would you think the answer to that would be?
You're asking me that question?
Yes.
Well, I think when you're, when that question pertains to a straight wife that's married to someone that's saying they're bisexual, I just think it's just such a, it's just such a odd question or odd odd concept because, you know, my ex, he played around with that concept once upon a time, and he would half-heartedly say, well, if I'm anything, I may be bisexual. Well, for example, he would say that, but yet if he was bisexual, he didn't want anything to do with me. So if you're bisexual, you know, wouldn't that mean by definition you would, you know, you could be with both sexes? So, I mean, it's just such a confusing concept when it's used. I just think it's just so complicated when someone tries to use the term bisexuality when they're in a gay-straight relationship. It just really confuses me, even as a, I guess, as a professional.
Yeah, I mean, I read so much information on, you know, from this link from bisexuality because I'm really trying to be more open-minded about it. And I know...
Uh-huh.
I really do believe that bisexuality is the pathway to homosexuality. And I just think a lot of guys are either in denial or they're too young to realize it, or they think they're bisexual based on the fact that they have a wife, they may have children, so even if they're having sex with a man, that doesn't make them bisexual. That makes them straight with issues or, you know, some other kind of name. But they just don't want to have to say that word gay. But in their own minds, like I said, they're not living a straight life. They're out there cheating with men or having sex somewhere with men, and they're not having sex with their women or very seldom having sex with the women. And yet they try to call themselves bisexuals, and they have all these resources. So, like, for instance, let me click into bisexual options and see, you know, what the options here are. And here I found the American Institute of Bisexuality. And the purpose is, it was founded in 1998, and their goals are to educate the general public, civic and professional organizations on bisexuality and the needs and concerns of bisexually oriented people, to promote and fund research on bisexuality, or to sponsor and organize conferences, public forums, panels, social activities that increase the understanding about bisexuality. So, you know, it's a whole list of resources that they have. Bisexuality, well, that one's not coming up, that link. But, like, for instance, they have the Gay Married Men Association. Now, I think this is interesting because there's gamma chapters all over Gay Married Men's Association. That, to me, in itself, is really a scary group, but okay. It said providing peer counseling, support, and outreach to gay and bisexually married men, their wives, partners, and friends. And it says, what is GAMA? GAMA is a peer support group for men who identify themselves as gay or bisexual or simply attracted to men. That's the first thing. Are now or have been in a relationship with a woman or are contemplating such a relationship. Some members are satisfying conventional marriages, some in less happy ones. Now, I don't get that. Some members are in satisfying conventional marriages. So why are they part of that support group? I'm not sure. Some are separated or divorced. Some have lovers. Some have never had a sexual experience with a man, and some have worked out unique living arrangements. Some have had free and open discussions with their spouses and children. Others have never spoken to anyone about their feelings. All are welcome and should find among us others who share their experience. GAMA has no official party line and neither encourages nor discourages its members from relationships with their wives or other women. Rather, it seeks to assist each man in finding his own best road and travel in life. Much of this is accomplished through open, candid, and sympathetic sharing of thoughts, experiences, and feelings. And then they talk about when they have the group. But, you know, I just don't quite get it. I mean, I don't know why somebody, really, honestly, I don't know why somebody would want to live with somebody knowing they're bisexual. Because maybe it's not gay yet. I mean, how do you feel about that, Misty?
I would just, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, I do need to remain open-minded about it and not say that, you know, it absolutely does not exist. I mean, anything can exist. I'm a firm believer in that. But my experience in it with my ex-husband did leave me with a foul experience. And if I run across that again with someone I was dating, it would really concern me, and I would probably head the other direction and definitely not lead towards marriage in that direction, you know, because, you know, when he sort of played around with that idea, I definitely did not understand his whole concept behind it and his how he tried to justify it, how he tried to explain it. I mean, it just never could make sense to me because, you know, the whole meaning to bisexuality could be that, you know, it should be both sexes, but still, it was just something that just did not make sense to me. It's just something that was not, it did not fit my needs as a person. And you know, and for some people, it would fit their needs and their values, and that's okay. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being gay. That's fine when I say values. But, you know, as the person that I married, that wasn't told to me when I was married. So, you know, that was just something that was really concerning. You know, it's like he kept part of his identity away from me. So, you know, there was those layers of betrayal and trust coming up. So, you know, it was just, I just wouldn't be very comfortable being married to someone that claimed to be bisexual with my past experience.
I think they're already giving you a hint. If they tell you I'm bisexual, you have to really learn to appreciate the fact they told you anything, because mm-hmm. most of us never get that kind of even partial confession prior
Absolutely.
To the time we get right.
Absolutely, I would appreciate their honesty. That's for sure.
Right. So if you can get to the point where somebody's telling you ahead of time that they're bisexual, that has to be a big red flag for you flying in your face, because you already know they have an attraction to men. And you already know they most likely acted on those attractions in the past. And guess what? You're never going to be woman enough for any gay man to feel that he doesn't need to have a man. There's no woman who can, you know, once again, satisfy a bisexual man enough that he won't want to act on this. You know, his mind is always going to be fantasizing about other men. Wouldn't you say so, Misty?
I would think so. I mean, if someone's claiming to be bisexual, I would think that there's definitely going to be those male fantasies going on in their head.
Bisexual means to turn around and run out the door. Because if somebody's willing to tell you that to start with, you already have a problem. I'm telling you the truth. And I know that some women don't like hearing this, but it is the truth. That, you know, if you have a guy who's telling you up front that he's had sexual relationships with another man and it's in the past, don't believe it. I had two women write to me this week. It was really odd that they're going with guys, and both of them were in their 20s. One was in their later 20s, one was in the mid-20s. And both these guys were willing to admit they had attractions for men or they had past sexual encounters with men. And they were telling these women, listen, you know, whatever was, now we're at a different point in life, and I know what I want, and I realize what I want, and I don't want to be gay, I don't want to be with men, I want to be with you. What do you tell these women? I tell them, get the heck out of there. What do you feel, Misty?
I would be so concerned. I really would, because I would just be concerned that person may be trying to fight those feelings and trying to be straight. I would just be really concerned about them.
I know. I tell them, turn around and walk, not walk out that door, run out that door.
Yeah, personally myself, I don't think I could really handle that in a relationship if I had heard that. But once again, I would so appreciate someone's honesty for telling me that instead of finding it later. I mean, I would just be so grateful for that information, and it would hurt so bad to turn around and walk away. But I don't think I could handle being in a relationship with that. I really don't think I could, just because of the potential for that to surface again.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my ego is never that strong where I have to sit and worry about every man a man is looking at. I mean, that
right.
would never work for me. I mean, it wouldn't work for me if he was looking at all these women either. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, at least, you know, I feel like if I'm a woman that he can love, then he can stay true to me. But
right.
with a man... If he's attracted to a man, there's no way he's going to stay true to me.
Right.
And I'm not going to say that applies to 100%, but guess what? It applies to 99%. And if you only have 1% chance out of 100 to make something work, I wouldn't take that chance, would you?
No.
I mean, when the odds are almost 100 to 100 against you,
No, I'm too afraid to take that chance.
Me too. So, some women, you know, we were talking in the chat room tonight why some women hang on to marriages. You know, they're scared. They don't want to be alone. You know, they have, you know, children involved. And I tell them that, you know, I can understand anything, but I just know for myself, you know, I just couldn't do it. I don't want to do it. I want to be with a man who wants me, not a man who wants to reject me. You know, I just think that so many of us settle for so little for ourselves. And like I said, I love my women out there. I have some really dynamite, wonderful women, you know, that are part of the support network. And I don't mean to hurt their feelings, but, you know, I just feel so bad when I see that they're willing to settle for so much less than what they deserve. Now,
mm-hmm.
I'm missing, not to get too personal with you on the air, but the fact remains that you told people last week a little bit that you met somebody you really care about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen overnight, right?
Absolutely not. It doesn't happen overnight. And, you know, it takes time, and it takes a few frogs in there that you have to kiss. It takes, you know, trying on different things, trying on, you know, going out with different people, different personalities, a few heartbreaks here and there, get yourself up, dust yourself off. It takes different things. It truly does. And you have to be open with it, and you have to be willing to get up and go at it again. I mean, it you know, you don't heal overnight. You don't find people overnight. But I think when you're willing to, when you're really willing to set your standards high and not settle for so little, I truly think that person will come along. And you know what? Sometimes you're just so ready to give up. I really think sometimes you're so ready to give up. But, you know, it'll happen. I mean, it truly, you know, it will happen. And, you know, just don't settle for little. It's just so sad when I see such wonderful, beautiful women settle for so little.
I know. I mean, I know it's scary out there, and I have women tell me they're so scared to be alone. But guess
mm-hmm.
what? When you're with the wrong guy, you are alone. I don't care what anybody
you
says.
You are.
It'd be a body
mm-hmm.
in the house. But it's
mm-hmm.
not a body you want to be with.
Exactly.
You know, and if you feel bad about yourself now, wait till you see what you feel like later after you repeat a mistake again, only in a different form. You know, you're not going to feel good about yourself then or allowing yourself to be knocked down by someone again. So the important thing is to realize that you are broken after these marriages. You do need to repair yourself, and you can repair yourself, but it's going to take help. You can't do it by yourself because you're not, unless you're a therapist, and even then, I know therapists who come to me because they can't cure themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to get professional help. You learn how to need to learn to rebuild your life, how to rebuild that self-esteem, and how not to feel that, you know, you should be so happy a guy is calling you. You have to be happier that, you know, somebody has the opportunity to talk to you, and you have to be in control, just like your ex-husband was in control. You know, you have to be the one to say, well, it was nice meeting you, but I don't think that we're suited for each other. You can't be afraid to say that. And I see women, I mean, this I don't get either, Misty. Like, they go out, they meet a guy, and they're not really impressed with him. There's no chemistry there, and they say, well, I have to give it another chance. Okay, well, how many chances do you have to give it? You know, they come back from their second date. Well, there was nothing really there, but I got to give them one more chance. No, you got to give yourself a chance to cut your losses and just keep moving
right.
on.
Right.
You believe
I've had several one-timers, you know, and it was nothing against the person. It was really nice to him, but I just said I didn't want to go out again. You know, I knew it was a waste of their time and my time both because it was just such not a match.
I know. I don't get it. And these women will say, all right, well, let me try it one more time. I mean, my friend's like that, and I love her, but she'll say, well, you know, I don't think there's anything there, but I really owe it to myself, you know, to try one more time. I said, well, if you don't feel anything for someone the first time, you're not going to feel it again.
I agree.
Why do you have to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Why do they
I think it's almost desperation sometimes. I think women just think, oh, well, you know, this is all that's coming along right now. I need to take what's coming along. No, I don't think so. I think you need to set your standards high. I really
mm-hmm.
do. Settle for
you know
more,
what,
not
ladies,
for less.
You got to learn to love you.
Absolutely.
You know, I love myself enough that I don't have to be with somebody every day or every minute. You know,
right.
I love my boyfriend to death, and if anything happened to him, my life would be turned upside down and totally devastated. And I don't know if I would survive totally, because a part of me would feel so broken because it's such a good relationship. But the point is that, you know, I just see women who stay and they with somebody who they don't particularly love, they don't particularly like, they're just there to be there. And even when the finances aren't a major point, I mean, I just don't get about not wanting to be alone rather than to be with somebody who makes you feel more lonely than ever.
Right.
Maybe sometimes somebody could call in and explain it to us, Misty, but it's always going to be beyond my understanding.
Mine too.
Right? Well, with that in mind, we're going to say goodnight for the week because we're tired. It's a long night, and we wanted to let you know that we're thinking of you. And if you have any other kind of topics you would like us to discuss or any kind of questions and you don't feel funny calling in, you can always write to me at bonk@aol.com. I'll repeat that again, bonkaye@aol.com, or go to my website at www.gayhusbands.com, and you can always write to me from that website. So, Misty, without further ado, I'll let you say goodnight to our guests.
Okay, good night and love to all, and good night and love to you, Bonnie.
Thank you, Misty, and you know I love you, and I want you to be the happiest that you've ever been in your life.
And I am. Thank you. Good night.
Okay, good. All right, everybody, we'll be back to talk to you next week, and have a wonderful week, and as Misty says, love to you all. Good night.
Bye-bye.